Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It was at home, and the Steelers were 12-4 that year, and were coming off a trip to the Super Bowl. So I actually think this would be more impressive
than that,
given the fact that you're without George Pickens and you haven't won there since the 60s. The 2018 game against New England, I think, is a more worthy of a conversation, because you also had running back injuries, and Jalen Samuels was your running back, who had been a tight end in college that day, and it was the best NFL game he ever played in.
Donnie, how many times in Mike Tomlin's tenure do you think the Steelers have been at least, what are they, phony, 5 points in this game right
five
now?
Five and a half.
5.5 now?
You're asking Donnie this question?
I want to see if Donnie knows, because I feel like you already know.
Why would you think that?
Because you have a photographic memory and frighten me daily.
But I don't have the special thing on Pro Football Reference.
You don't need it, because your brain works like that.
Oh, thank you. Congratulations on all my...
Donnie, are you disputing anything I'm saying to him?
Brain
he's trying
success.
To be. No,
plus
he's trying
already,
to do the fake
he probably
humility.
Probably looked
thing.
It up like 2 hours ago.
All I right. just said I didn't have the search thing to do.
Fine,
it,
Fine, then I'll ask you both. How many times, at least according to Pro Football Reference, in Mike Tomlin's tenure, has this team been at least a 5.5 point dog in the regular season? And won the game. That's the
oh,
caveat.
Okay.
Sorry, I refined my screen. How many times have they won as a 5.5 point or bigger underdog?
I'm honestly going to say zero.
I'm going to say 9 was the first number that popped in my head, but I'm actually going to flip it upside down and say 6.
He's right on the money, Donnie.
9?
He's exactly on the six.
Shocker.
6, okay.
He's exactly on the money. What a shock. They have – so I
so
had
– So don't say the games.
Okay, the 5-point game that's getting taken out of here is in 2008, they were actually a 5-point underdog against Jacksonville on the road.
So this is just – I jotted this down quick when we were at lunch and I was being antisocial with you guys.
You were being extremely antisocial. I was the life of the party for one time. I was the one.
I was also not in a good position to be social because I was stuck all the way down at one end of the table.
But
by myself.
You could have like held court though.
The table was too long to do
oh
that.
Oh my God. Joe was at the other end and he was being social with everyone.
Yeah. He was also being very social with Double M. Madden was there at his lunch.
Well, the entire spectacle was like, I thought the Curb Your Enthusiasm music was about to start playing the minute we walked in, and he was the literal first person me and you and Donnie saw.
Donnie, how about the move Callis pulled on Double M?
That's
a Hall of Fame
move. I know everybody at the table loved it.
So Madden goes to Callis, hey, you're Harry Callis, and Callis shook his hand and he goes, who are you? And then didn't he say, what did he say to
No, he. Dallas? I think he said, yeah, I am. And he said, and what's your name? And then I think he said, get lost or something like that. Callis is just unbelievable.
Which, how did we miss that? Because we walked in with Callis.
I don't know. That's a good
question. Yeah, he did it right behind both of you.
Did Madden acknowledge you, Don?
I just walked to the table.
Oh.
Wow. I thought the Curb Your Enthusiasm music was going to start playing. It was very odd coincidence.
Mark's always been nice to me in person, but I feel like he has said horrible things about me behind my back, so I don't know how to deal with that. It's one of those situations where it's like...
He's always been nice to me in person and always had complimentary things to say about you. I've never been on the receiving end of like him telling me, like, hey, what's going on with that guy?
Oh, he loves Malzi.
Oh, absolutely.
He's like number one fan.
And Malzi's blushing over here as we say
that. Well, you know who he really loves is the Crow man.
Oh, yeah. Well, he wanted, I think, Crowley to... It was like coach-in-waiting status.
Hey, Crowley is Steve Belichick?
Yeah, pretty much.
He's got
his surrogate kid.
His little dirty hoodie on. All right, so the question is, again, how many times in Tomlin's tenure...
Yes, we said six.
Five-and-a-half-point dog. Can you name the six games?
Well, hold on a second. I wanted to give you the list of games that I would put...
Ahead of this one. You said this would be probably fifth.
I would
on
say
list.
Tomlin, for me, if he were to win this game on Sunday,
yes,
it would be his fifth best regular season win as Steelers coach. Here are the games I would put ahead of it. I'll go in chronological order. I'll go from earliest to latest.
Okay.
2012, when they went to Baltimore with Ben injured, Charlie Batch at quarterback, Sweezum kicks the game-winning field goal at the horn. And that's a team in Baltimore that went on to win the Super Bowl that year.
Is that Batch is crying at the end of that game,
yep,
I believe?
That's Ben with Batch. That's Charlie's last like great moment as a Steeler.
It's in the NFL, really.
It's a seminal moment, I think, as a quarterback, period. Even though he was, I think he took Detroit to the playoffs. But I think that is his defining moment as a Steeler, for sure. And
Batch
without,
had himself a nice little
without
game that
Ben,
day.
I mean, against that defense.
Leading rusher for the Steelers in that game.
2012.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that is a great
question.
Two
guys had 40 or more yards, but neither of them cracked 50.
I mean, I've got Jonathan Dwyer and Isaac Redman in my brain.
Donnie, it's sickening. It's almost not even fun for me
right?
to do this. Yes, Dwyer had 49, Redman had 43.
Okay, so that would be Emmanuel Sanders had a big catch in that game too. So that would be. I'd put that ahead of it. Would you guys want to debate me on either?
No,
on that.
No, I think this would be given how bad they are in.
I think that's Tomlin's best regular season win. Period. Given the underdog status, and I know that team ended up finishing 8-8.
As I look at just point spread games
but
here,
what a friggin' win that was.
Well, I think because it's your rival, and just going there and twisting the knife on them like that when they were that good. Yeah, I think that's right.
The next game I have is second on my list of all time Tomlin regular season wins. 2017 at Cincinnati, the night Shazier suffered his injury. They got down 17-0 in that game. And you have a catastrophic injury that, had they lost that game, you would have been able to write that off and say, well, how can you blame them?
How can you play when you know the guy might be paralyzed in front of you?
And they go on to have one of the great comeback wins in Steelers history.
That one's up there. Man, I remember exactly what I, like...
And the Bengals were no joke. I mean, they were a good team that season. It was still during the halcyon days of Vontaze Burfict and Andy Dalton and A.J. Green and those guys.
I remember, that was back in the day, me and Sean Gentile, when he worked at the PG still, Fatheads would have us do post-game reaction videos to a game.
Did they pay you for that?
Yeah, back in, that was like part of
it. Congratulations on all your success.
It was through the PG, like, but we did these videos, and he would play if it was too late at night and the
PG
game was
PG pay it pretty
end,
good.
It was fine, Pony. That's kind of a weird thing to ask.
I'm just curious. I've never done anything for the PG, another entity in Pittsburgh that I'm pretty sure hates me.
Why do you think they hate you?
I mean, like, they're.
You've been on this weird kick lately of everyone hates my tweets, everyone hates me. There's only room
right,
for
there's
one
a lot self-loathing. Going
there's only
on
room
here.
For one self-loathing person on this show.
Well, no, I mean,
and it's mine.
Hold on a second. There's no guesswork here. Like, their number one editor over there, Adam Bittner, like, thinks that we're on a crusade to like ruin his career.
I think
so
he
hates us.
I think he dislikes me more than he dislikes you.
Okay, well then I'm guilty by association there.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, anyway, though, I remember he and I, like, if Fatheads was going to close on a given night for, like, an 8 o'clock game, like, they weren't going to stay open all the way through and we couldn't do, like, a midnight thing sitting there, we would just do these at my house. And I remember, like, very weird vibe trying to sit there and put a bow on that game, knowing, like,
one of the most eventful games in Steelers history.
Knowing his career was probably over.
Like, that's the same night Vontaze Burfict got blown up by Juju.
Right, right. And it was revenge for the AB hit Burfict put on him. Happier times when Juju would actually go to the Met for
And then the other two games I have on the list that I would not put this win over are the season openers back-to-back in 2021 and 2022.
Okay, so
at Buffalo and at Cincinnati.
So the
Burrow played his worst game ever. He had 4 interceptions and 2 fumbles in that game.
And then they beat Josh Allen with the old total team effort.
Block punts, things of that nature.
The only game of the 4 you picked that was not on the list of the biggest regular season underdog spreads they've had where they've won was the Cincy game. Either of you care to take a stab at the biggest spread they have ever faced in the regular season under Tomlin and actually won the game? I'll give you the number. It was 9.5, and they won.
It's not the Ravens game.
That batch game?
Yeah.
No, that was 7.5. 9.5, and they won.
Was it the game they played against the Chargers with Duck?
Nope. Donnie, you want to take a stab at this or no?
I mean, it has to be one of the years that they didn't have Ben. I can't, or a game where they didn't have Ben.
I cannot think
of a single time where they were that big of a
Pony's going to get it because I think you might have just jogged his
memory.
Well,
you just brought something up. The only other thing that pops into my head is, are there, like, Week 17 games where they didn't play everybody?
You're both wrong. You're both going to be, and you will both kick yourselves
for
this.
What is
it? Tampa at home, 9.5-point dog against Brady, and Kenny gets hurt, and here comes
Trubisky.
Mitch cooking. That was Mitch's.
Wow.
I think that, in many ways, is Mitch's finest hour. He came in and just absolutely scorched
Tampa. They were a
Tampa
huge
Bay.
Dog, but I would not. See, I would look at this as a better win for Tomlin because Brady was so checked out at that point. Remember, he went to Kraft's wedding?
Yeah, and then he was like
game?
Dog cussing his team on the sideline.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Trubisky in that game, 9 of 12, 144 and a touchdown, man.
And then Claypool put that dip in afterwards that Gunner gave him, and he almost threw up during post-game interviews.
It sounds about that was like one of the last big games for Chase Claypool,
Donnie,
I think.
I didn't get your take on this. How about Crowley and Dorn, these addicts, these degenerates? As soon as they ate the last bite of their lunch, the zins went in immediately.
Yeah, and and Crowley said, after a nice meal is the second best time to put a zin in, and I said, what's the first? And Dorn said, when you're pooping. In the morning.
Ugh.
I mean, joking, but...
They do their whole shows with them in constantly.
I couldn't talk like... I would sound ridiculous, I think, if I had a zin.
Were you tempted to reach across the table and ask them for one?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
By the way, that Tampa Bay game, last touchdown catch for Chase Claypool in black and gold.
I thought you were going to say last touchdown of his NFL career.
Guess what?
What?
I'm pretty sure if I were to go and look through his game logs, that is also true. No, he caught his last touchdown was coincidentally against Tampa the next year for Chicago. He caught a touchdown, and he's never caught one since.
My God, was he so bad for them.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
No Steve Palazzolo today. He'll join us again next week. Donnie Football Debrief in 15 minutes. We've mentioned our big lunch we had today a few times, our big fan luncheon. And one of the things that
Would you say the theme of the luncheon for to some degree was our bosses telling us congratulations on all your success?
Yes, 100%. One of the things that came up was, organically, if you made an all-time Steagles roster of Steelers and Eagles players.
Yes.
And so while you guys were discussing that, I was just off on the side making the team on my own.
Yeah, you're definitely not an antisocial person with a borderline freak show brain.
Yeah,
memory.
I'm not, like, my wife literally, like, said this about me. They had one of those favorite things parties in the neighborhood last night. Do you know what those are?
You bring three of your favorite things or whatever.
And then,
like, exchange them?
Yes.
So my stepmother-in-law was proposing that for, like, when we get together with them for Christmas. And I actually thought it sounded like a nice little idea. Mm-hmm. Like, a fun little thing. I imagine if you even participated, it was like a remote control, a cable box, and a Sunday ticket subscription
no,
or something.
No, I was just there to, like, grab Stella.
Okay.
And take her home while Amanda continued to hang
now,
out
were,
with everybody.
Were there other dads there?
No, there weren't. It was like only a wives of the neighborhood thing.
Okay, so you were like the lone dude there.
Yes.
Okay.
But just for a few minutes to grab Stella.
Mm-hmm.
But Amanda said, like, yeah, you're usually terrible at things like this, is what she said. She's like, you would not do a good job at this. And I'm like,
what, like actually procuring the gifts and stuff?
No, like
the favorite things or no? Or just wrangling Stella and being around
no,
people?
No, just like having fun at a party.
Oh, yeah, you are terrible at that.
How is that something people are bad at? I love
actually,
hanging
you
out
know
with
what?
Friends and having
no,
a good
you,
time.
Like, I will say you've come to, like, Ace's birthday parties, and then you and my brother always get into the bourbon very quickly, it seems like. The two of you, if you're able to, if you're not on, like, drive-home duty, suddenly a bottle of bourbon just appears on my dining room table, and there you and my brother are carrying on about God knows what.
Dottie, do you think I'm bad at these kind of get-togethers?
I feel like I haven't experienced you enough at them.
I think my brother likes talking to you because he feels like you're a much smarter person than I am, so he can, like, talk about, like, very in-depth things with you.
What things do I really have opinions on besides
sports?
Oh,
I think you're very opinionated. You just keep them buried, unless they're sports. But then he'll quiz you on sports, and you've got million and one stories.
So I told you I made this all-time Steagles team.
Now, are they playing a 4-3 or a 3-4?
I put down 4-3.
Okay.
So here's who I went with, right?
Okay. I'm waiting.
Here's my offense. Quarterback's Bradshaw.
Okay.
I picked him over Ben. Running back is Franco. Wide receivers are all Steelers. I went Swan, Stallworth, and AB.
You need two running backs.
No, you don't.
Oh, you're going, okay, so change that. You're going three wide.
Swan, Stallworth, and AB.
Okay.
Tight end, I have Heath.
Okay.
Left tackle, I have, who did I write down here?
Jason Peters?
Yes. Exactly. I have Jason Peters at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I have Lane Johnson at right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Then my guards are DeCastro and Fanica.
Mm-hmm.
And my center, I went Webster over Kelsey.
You could have gone Webster or Dawson, I think.
Yeah, I like Webster better because of the longevity.
Man, Kelsey's really good, though, but you've got...
Do you quibble with any of it?
I quibble.
Any quibbling?
I quibble with one major omission.
Should I put Harold Carmichael on there?
You probably should have put T.O. on there.
And take off who?
Swan.
Let's get T.O. and A.B. in that receiver room, baby, and just cause chaos.
T.O. played with the Eagles for 2 seconds. That would,
if
like,
that's your main
that
reason
would be
for
like,
keeping
that would
him
be
off
like
the
considering
team.
Russell Wilson as Steelers or as Steagles quarterback here. And it ended so abruptly and so badly for him here. Like, I don't know this for sure if they even do this, but if they have a Hall of Honor or Hall of Fame with the Eagles, I would bet dollars to donuts that
T.O.
is not
in it. No,
it's
just a jail in the stadium. There's not an actual Hall of Honor.
Did you know when we were talking about the 97 game, I think the other day, Donnie, were you producing this that day when we were talking about them going there and losing to Bobby Boyle the year that they lost the AFC Championship game? Somebody texted me and said that that game is famous for something in Eagles history.
Okay.
That was the day that they had opened a new jail.
at the vet. Got the great. Oh, you know who's a guy you could have put on this team from the who actually played a majority of his career a long time? DeSean Jackson.
Who do you take off?
I could take off Swan.
Chris, there's not a football analyst alive. Well done, T-Bird. T-Bird hasn't been producing us today. He's been gambling his balls off.
That's actually true. He's just like holding up the chips with a sheepish look on his face.
There's not a football analyst alive who would put DeSean Jackson over Lynn Swann, and that probably includes Donnie's dad, who's like the biggest Lynn Swann.
I guess Harold, if you
time.
Were going to do it, you'd have to put Harold Carmichael.
The other one
there.
I actually thought about, but I couldn't bring myself to do it, was to put Zach Ertz over Heath.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's why I didn't do it.
I still, if you're just talking about did they play for the team, I mean, T.O. in two seasons put up nice big numbers.
Yes, but what did you just say before nice numbers? Two seasons.
Not a great tradition of wide receivers there who played long stretches with them other than Carmichael.
No, big Harold Carmichael, who's one of like largest humans to ever play wide receiver in the history of the NFL.
He's the guy who, when people would call into 1250 ESPN and they would just do prank calls where they would say an athlete's name, that was the Harold Carmichael calls. We got Zach Caleros in the early days of this station.
Steagles defensive line all time. I have Reggie White, Joe Green, Cam Hayward, LC Greenwood. Linebackers, outside I have Watt, Ham, and Lambert.
Corner. Man, you'd be playing TJ at a brutal position for him.
Corners, I have Woodson and Blunt.
You wouldn't have Chuck Bednarik in there?
No, F Chuck Bednarik. I almost said the word itself.
So this is all this really is for you is a pandering exercise where you're picking almost exclusively Steelers
and then,
to populate a
and
Steelers
And then safeties,
team.
I have Polamalu and Brian Dawkins.
Oh, that's nice. I feel like you've got to put Chuck Bednarik in there.
Why?
You love old football.
No, I don't. When do I talk about old football on
you
the
talk
show?
About watching old games on YouTube
yes,
all the time.
Not from the freaking 1950s.
Donnie, your thoughts?
I had a feeling that was the direction things were going to go in. Like the absolute legends were going to be on there for Philly and then pretty much nobody else.
Chuck Bednarik was playing both ways, the 60-minute man.
Well, you guys, the Steelers, I mean, lately the Eagles have been much better, but historically the Steelers are just a much better franchise than the Eagles. That's why
Chuck Bednarik, five straight first-team All-Pros.
Yeah. Okay, so you want to take off Ham, Lambert, or Watt for him?
I would take off
you none of them. Thank you.
No.
I rest my case.
No. I could take off Lambert, maybe.
No,
Big
that
Chuck.
Would be ridiculous. Again, no one in the history of football thinks Chuck Bednarik is a better player than Jack Lambert.
I thought you were going to get Watan down in the dirt up front.
So you want me to take Reggie White off for him then?
Oh, don't tempt him, Donnie.
Oh, no, here he goes. Do you want me to take off Reggie White? No, I don't want you to take off Reggie White.
I'm just glad he made...
You want me to take Cam Hayward off then?
I'm glad Pony made the definitive list.
Is Cam Hayward on the outside?
No, he's a defensive tackle in this format.
So that
you want me to take off
question.
Poor LC Greenwood, who's been snubbed by the Hall of Fame, and now we want to snub him from the all-time Steelers team?
I should be proud, Donnie, that he didn't put McNabb in as the starting quarterback.
No,
you would have thought no. Mr. Syracuse here would
no,
stay
No, that's
loyal.
Not true, because I'm not like a lot of these college honks who are a slave to their college team.
No, definitely
if
not.
If you play at my school and then you go play for a team that I hate, you're dead to me.
Uh-huh.
So I stopped liking or rooting for McNabb.
Sure you did.
I did. Did you root for? Oh, we guess you're weird. I guess Steelers fans don't look at the Eagles as a rival, so it's like
no,
a
they
bad
don't.
Question. Who was a guy who starred at Pitt who played for the Ravens? Because I wouldn't say Tyler Boyd starred with the Bengals, but I'm trying to think of a guy who played at Pitt who was a big
time. I mean, how about
player.
Jabal Sheard with the Browns, who's pretty good for a little bit?
Well, actually, you did something there that jogged the memory. You had no thought of McCoy at running back. It was all Franco all the way.
Yeah.
No Le'Veon Bell.
I mean, Donnie, when Franco retired, Jim Brown was the only guy in NFL history with more rushing yards.
If you needed one guy to win a game at running back, Le'Veon Bell, McCoy, or Franco, just period.
I loved what Bell did for a few years there, but dude, Franco Harris is like the best postseason running back of all time.
And Bell can line up as a wide receiver.
Immaculate reception.
He can do it all. He's a do-it-all player.
Yes, and he wanted to be paid as a running back and wide receiver, and that did not end well for him. Wait, you really think that Bell was a better running back than
Franco?
I think
Bell is the most talented running back that's ever put on a Steelers
uniform.
My God,
we just named guys. We didn't even bring Bettis up there. We're talking about friggin' Le'Veon Bell ahead of Bussey?
One, two, three. I think you put four Eagles total on the team.
No, I've got both tackles.
Reggie White,
three.
And Brian Dawkins.
Yeah, you're right. Only four.
Four out of 22, Donnie.
Win more than one Super Bowl and
there's
can talk.
Pony, you got to be distracted. Look who's at the pit game.
Ben.
Big Ben.
He has, I got to say.
His
I don't.
Sister plays volleyball.
And he loves it now. I don't know if it's Ozempic, but he has lost weight. He's looking very svelte these days.
I mean, do you really think that he.
He's looking fantastic
Do you think
these
he
days.
Did that route, or do you think he really just went with disciplined eating and regular exercise?
What if you found out that he was very quietly an Awaken 180 client?
I'd say good for Ben, living a healthy lifestyle with Awaken
180. What if you found out that it was the power of your rhetoric that got him into Awaken 180?
Then
this is Ben Roethlisberger for Awaken 180. I hate Chris Muller.
But I'll tell you what, that guy knows weight loss.
And at first I didn't want to get on board. But after hearing the results of Donnie Football and Harry Callis, I was left no choice.
Would Harry Callis, would he do the same thing if he walked up to Ben and Ben said, "Hey, you're Harry Callis"? He said, "Hi, who are you?
Who are you?"
I think there's a chance. I think there Callis is a non-zero chance.
Callis probably would pull
chance.
The same thing.
Callis, no, but Callis, for a guy that hosts technically an early morning show, he knows alarmingly little about Pittsburgh sports, having lived here his entire life.
Does he know more about Pittsburgh sports or the Yankees?
I'd say the Yankees.
I agree. I think you could quiz him on Yankees trivia, and he would have a much better concept.
I mean,
of what
I heard
doing.
Him on the early morning show earlier this week talk about the Steelers only playing 16 games again.
And did he get corrected by a caller?
I don't know,
like
but he said, "I'm looking right now. Maybe they finish 11-5. Worst off, you know."
Is that part of the charm? Is that part of the charm of Harry Callis ultimately, and like in the final accounting of things? You and I will get
the charm of him.
You and I will occasionally get like factual stuff incorrect. Even you will. I will. Donnie will.
Well, yeah, because I think there is like a Chris Farley quotient there.
There's a character quotient there.
It is debrief time. Donnie is here with the biggest football story of the day, and it is brought to you by his friends at the Steel Mill Saloon up in Mount Washington. Don,
the debrief, December 12th. 2024. The Steelers did something today that a lot of teams would like to do at this stage in the season, but something they have not done in quite a few years. Home playoff tickets went on sale for the Pittsburgh Steelers
Ooh.
Today. Are they getting ahead of themselves a little bit?
Okay, so no, but let me ask you this question. Do we have the prices?
I could pull them up. Like, yes. I didn't have to worry about that on my end, luckily.
Oh, wait a minute. Why is that? Because it's automatic?
Yeah, like, I'll get charged, like, based on the game.
Okay, because I'm curious, like, what? Because you sit in one upstairs behind one of the end zones, correct?
Yes.
I'd love to know what the face value is for a playoff ticket in that seating area. Chris, you want to take a stab at it?
Donnie, can you give me an idea of what that ticket cost you, one seat, where you sit regular season?
I would say like roughly like 100, okay. Because it's in the bleachers. It also varies based on the game.
I'd say between, I guess, like 175 and 200 for a playoff ticket.
Yeah, you think they're going to
double
the price?
No, 150 to 175 in that range. I would say 150, I guess.
$50 upcharge for a playoff game.
So I have Ticketmaster pulled up here.
I'm gonna go Price is Right rules and say 125.
I'm just looking at Ticketmaster here.
Okay.
The Cheapest set for two is $198 a piece.
Well, how many Ticketmaster fees are added into that price?
Well, that's before.
Oh, they kill you. Oh, my
that's
God.
That's before fees? Then they cost your mortgage every month after fees.
It's brutal, man, what they do with these fees. What are the fees going to?
Not they're junk fees. The
so
overwhelming
price,
majority are junk fees.
Price with fees is $235.
It's just they're junk fees.
And this is and these are for seats in your own section, or you just said look like get in the door price for this game.
Get in the door, but I mean they're roughly the same area. Like I'm looking at $527, so it's two sections over.
That's not bad. I'm sure depending on the opponent. In the day and time of the game, people would be able to sell those for a lot more.
Right. So here, like,
Ravens would go for the most or no?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Who goes for the most if they're the three seed? Which of Ravens, Chargers, Broncos? I think Ravens are obviously
for sure.
The biggest
yeah, the Ravens would go for the most. But the thing is, and my buddies and I were having this conversation today because one of my buddies isn't already in such dad mode at like 26 years old that. He thinks, like, prices for any of this is outrageous.
Does he already have kids? Like, is he
no,
in literal dad
mode?
No,
which is funny. He's not a dad yet, but he is so much in dad mode where he even used the line, like, I'll watch it on my HD TV and on my recliner.
Who says, who specifies HD TV anymore?
Yeah, who is not watching an HD TV anymore?
I'll watch it on my CRT, my tube television. I mean, standard def, damn it.
I mean, even that guy who used to be all over social media for his Steelers watching on Sundays, that epitome of a Yinzer guy.
He's got an HD
even had
TV.
They cost
like $80 to get a 40-inch TV.
We got
to
get that guy back in the mix here. I loved that dude.
He's still posting videos. I think Elon's algorithm might not like him, though.
But the point I was making to my friend was that, well, A, it's a playoff game, and B, Pittsburgh hasn't had a true home playoff game since the 2017 season. Like, yeah, okay, the COVID year they hosted a game. Who was there?
Right.
Nobody. Like, since that Jags game in January of 2018, they have not hosted a playoff game. So I'd say this.
Yeah, so it's become
I'd say
a
this place is pretty hungry for a little playoff action.
It would be interesting, though, what would happen to those ticket prices depending on when the game got played. So there's a Saturday afternoon game, a Saturday night game, then early Sunday, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, your typical Sunday NFL times 1:425, and then Sunday night football. Mm-hmm. And then remember, there's a Monday night game.
Just one, though, right?
Yeah, there's a Monday night playoff game. So the last time the game was here in 2020, they played Sunday night against the Browns.
Yes,
that was
they
the
did.
Last game of Sunday?
Yep.
If it's Steelers-Ravens,
it's going to be that game.
See, I was going to say it would be the late afternoon
you
Sunday game.
You think the 4:25 game?
Yeah.
I think for most Steelers fans, that would be the idealized one, right? That's your top pick in a draft of when
you
that game
why?
Could happen.
Because they don't play 4:25 home games anymore. When was the last time they played a four? No, they'll play one against the Ravens on a Saturday.
What was a Sunday 4:25 game?
When was the last time they played a 4:25 Sunday home game? I feel like it's been at least 2 years.
All right, we're going to do a quick check of this. So they don't have any of them this year.
They didn't last year.
I'll just double check.
It was always pretty routine if it was any Steelers-Patriots matchup later on.
They had that random 4:30 Sunday. No, that was a road game in Indy. I'm sorry, last year. You're right.
Yeah, they've had a few of those Saturdays.
4:20. They did play one in 2022.
What's
4:25 Bengals 37-30.
Yes, because Pickett actually played pretty decent in that game.
Played a very good first half, and we finally thought they were coming out of it, and then they kind of got boat raced in the second half.
Yeah, Burrow balled out in the second half of that game. That's correct. That's the last time.
Yep.
I agree with you. I think that would be the preference of Steelers fans to play.
I know
that
would be Art Rooney's preference. I'm sorry, I'm getting like vaguely distracted here by the Pitt Oregon game on the TV here at the Rivers Casino.
They're losing the second set 23-20, and it's a race to 25. This is going to show my ignorance with volleyball. Do you have to win a set by two, or is it literally just the first to 25? Could they win at 25-24 without some kind of tiebreaker?
I'm going to show my idiotic side here. I'm 99% sure you got to win by two.
Okay. So they could just keep going.
Yes.
It's like tennis where they could.
Because I think SMU, who was the only team to beat Pitt this year, lost in a big upset, and I think like the final set or like the upset ended up, it was like a set played in the 30s to decide it. You know what I mean? Like they it was like at Wimbledon. Remember that John Isner and that Nicholas Mahut guy played like a. How many games did that thing go?
Oh my god, it was like a 20-hour.
Like 100, wasn't it? Like 130 games in the fifth set.
Oh my god,
it was like 70 to 68 or something like that. So it's 23-21. I mean, Pitt's probably going to win this match and probably going to do it in four sets. But them losing a set, if it happens, would be almost a news item with how dominant they've been.
I do feel like we're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
23-22, though.
I do feel like we're getting a little bit of ahead of ourselves with the already. Here's the playoff matchup. Ticket prices.
I do agree with that. Like the home game thing, like yes.
It's got a little bit of a touch in the money already vibe to it.
Yeah, I agree. And they can just beat the Ravens and they'll do it and that'll be it. But that's like the clearest, easiest path, but you still got to go into Baltimore and beat a team that always plays close games with you.
Here's a little a corollary to the debrief that I think Donnie will be into. So the Steelers play at 4:25 on Sunday. Lions and Bills play at 4:25 on Sunday. 2 1 o'clock games on CBS. Chiefs Browns in Cleveland. Ravens Giants in New York. Which game do you think we're getting in Pittsburgh? Chiefs Browns or Ravens Giants?
I think we're getting Chiefs Browns.
Don?
That was going to be my pick too.
Wrong. We're getting Ravens Giants. That is a terrible job. I don't know who makes that call, and I know that the Ravens are the Steelers' arch rival, and I know they play them on Saturday.
I just thought that was more the geography of it.
Who the hell wants to watch Ravens-Giants? That as a guy that grew up rooting for the Giants, and they're an unwatchable football team right now.
The Giants, I think, are the worst and most embarrassing team in the NFL right now.
I'm going to throw something out there, and I know we got to do our picks for our picks page coming up. I think the Browns are going to beat the Chiefs on Sunday. I think they're going to channel some Jameis magic.
You think we're getting Jameis chaos?
I think we're getting Jameis magic like we did against the Steelers on the Thursday night game and the Ravens game earlier this year. I think he's due. And they are much better at home.
Well, I wouldn't say he's due so much as the Chiefs are due to stop
to
having great escapes.
Yes.
But you know what? Even as I say that and even as Jameis makes it like feel possible, it'll be like, is Dustin Hopkins even still their kicker right now? I guess so,
did
right?
You say Dustin Hoffman?
No, Hopkins.
Oh, yes.
It might as well be Dustin Hoffman.
Right, exactly.
Rain Man.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know what's going to happen. Jameis will actually play a very good game, and it'll be 24-23 with 10 seconds to go or 8 seconds to go. Browns have the ball. Here comes Dustin Hopkins to try to win the game for them with a 42-yard field goal. And he's going to end up bricking it or double doinking it, and the Chiefs are going to survive again. And because they're the Chiefs, there's like a plausible part where they just keep doing this over and over again every week.
I don't know. It just seems like the most like NFL thing ever that the guy in the team that ends this Chiefs
is Jameis.
Invincibility in close games is a stupid team like the Browns and a ridiculous quarterback like Jameis.
I mean, they are a very stupid team, and he is a very ridiculous quarterback. God, that would make the Steelers game quite a bit more interesting, would it not? I mean, if you actually call a Browns win there, you'll know it before the Steelers go on the air. And then suddenly you're trying to figure out a way, can they somehow clip the Ravens, and then forget about the division. You've already got that. Now you're gunning for number one, and the Bills still have the Lions to deal with simultaneously.